From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Monday, October 23rd. Coming up, we'll learn more about the barriers to clean water in tribal communities and the fight for infrastructure funding on one Nebraska reservation. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. One Republican from Illinois' congressional delegation is frustrated at his party's inability to elect a new House Speaker. Dave McKinney has more.
The House GOP is expected to try again today to find a replacement for ousted former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Downstate Congressman Mike Bost voted three times for Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, but Jordan's bid failed each time. Without a speaker, Boss says work is piling up.
We've got to get this done, and the reason we have to get it done is we are in a situation where we need to make sure we pass a resolution in support of Israel. We need to make sure we get the border secure. We need to make sure we get a budget passed. We need to make sure we get the farm bill passed. The list goes on and on.
Illinois' two other Republican congressional members, Darren LaHood and Mary Miller, also back Jordan. This is Dave McKinney.
Some Illinois lawmakers accepted campaign donations from red light camera companies, even though they had just passed a bill to prohibit those contributions. The Chicago Sun-Times found that Democratic Senate President Don Harmon's campaigns raked in $5,000 from the company RedSpeed Illinois. That happened a few weeks after his chamber unanimously passed the bill in May, but before the governor signed it into law. Sun-Times reporter Bob Hergeth says the new law doesn't have any teeth.
There are no repercussions for violating this that I know of. And also lobbyists who are affiliated with the red light camera industry are still allowed to give.
Lawmakers crafted the measure amid the fallout from a kickback and bribery scheme involving red light camera operators. A new facility at Parkland College in Champaign will train students to become service technicians for farm equipment made by AGCO. IPM's Jim Meadows reports.
With a $5 million donation from AGCO, Parkland College is building a 20,000-square-foot training center. It will house a two-year associate's degree program to train new service technicians for the company's dealerships, plus offer training programs for current technicians. AGCO training manager Ash Alt says the company expects to need 2,000 new technicians over the next 5 years.
It's a hard thing to do right now is finding a valuable, experienced technician. So if you can educate the youth to become service technicians, it'll be a huge need to the industry.
The training center will be the first of its kind for AGCO, which makes ag equipment under the Massey Ferguson, Challenger, and Fendt brands, among others. I'm Jim Meadows, IPM News.
The Fighting Illini football team lost their homecoming week to the Wisconsin Badgers Saturday 25-21. IPM News reporter Colin Heislope has more.
Illinois led by double digits heading into the fourth quarter, where they gave up 18 unanswered points to the Badgers. Illinois fell to 3-5 on the season and 1-4 in Big Ten conference play. Head Illini football coach Brett Bielema spoke after the game about what is yet to come for the Illini.
One thing we have now is obviously a bye week to kind of gather our thoughts, and we got a four-game schedule that's got all Big Ten teams in front of us, and you know we obviously got to take it one game at a time, but at least those four games on the back end, you'd hope be able to get ourselves in a position to be a little bit of a light at the end of the year that's positive.
Saturday's loss pushes Illinois into a bye week, followed by a road trip to play Minnesota on November 4th. I'm Colin Heislope, IPM News.
Still to come, we'll learn more about the barriers to clean water in tribal communities and the fight for infrastructure funding on one Nebraska reservation. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Season 2 of Hotel Portofino picks up in the summer of 1927 as Bella considers if she should reunite with her no-good husband or focus on a blossoming friendship with a handsome architect. Season 1 is currently streaming on WILL Passport. Friends of WILL can binge all 6 episodes of Season 2 starting the evening of October 15th. Visit will.illinois.edu/passport to learn more.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. Access to clean water is a challenge for hundreds of rural communities across the United States. But on Native American reservations, a lack of infrastructure and funding has left nearly half of tribal homes without access to reliable water sources, clean drinking water, or basic sanitation. Harvest Public Media contributor Brian Beach reports on a crisis in one Nebraska tribal community.
Along the banks of the Missouri River in northern Nebraska lies the village of Santee on the Santee Sioux Nation Reservation. Home to fewer than 1,000 residents, Santee has not had access to safe drinking water for the last 4 years. Since then, Cameron Runnels, tribal vice chairman for the Santee Sioux, has been trying to secure funding to fix the problem.
Everybody's sympathetic. Everybody's, you know, that's too bad. But no one has offered the assistance or the guidance that we want, that we need.
The Environmental Protection Agency first issued a no drink order to residents of Santee because of high levels of manganese in 2019. By April 2020, the naturally occurring element was 50 times more concentrated than what the EPA considers safe for adults. Becky Sherman manages domestic water and wastewater programs for the University of Nebraska-Lincoln Extension. She says exposure to manganese can result in problems with memory, attention, and motor skills. And Sherman says boiling the water only makes the manganese more concentrated, making it a real challenge to solve.
In my 10 plus years when I was with the public drinking water program, I do not recall a time that we had flat out, do not drink the water, even if you boil it.
While the Santee are experiencing an especially dire situation, dozens of other tribes across the country also have water access issues, from the Navajo Nation's battle for water rights in the desert southwest to the Apsaloke Nation's wastewater contamination in Montana. Heather Tanana is a professor at the University of California, Irvine, who researches tribal water issues.
I don't think that you can get around saying it's a racial inequity.
Tanana says rural communities often struggle with water infrastructure.
But that's not the best predictor of whether or not you're going to have water access in the U.S. It's race. And Native Americans are the least likely to have water access in their homes than anyone else in the U.S.
Nationally, the Inflation Reduction Act has earmarked plenty of money for clean water projects in tribal communities, but most tribes have to access a patchwork of grants from various agencies, each with their own applications and regulations. Tanana says that many small tribes have limited staff resources, which makes it difficult to navigate the complex funding process.
That's, I think, a little challenging or frustrating for some communities to see money out there, but not actually making it on the ground or specifically to their community.
And even if the water treatment infrastructure is built, maintaining it is often more difficult. Maintenance requires ongoing staff and financial resources many tribes lack, according to Manny Teodoro, a professor of public affairs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
You can get money from Uncle Sam. They could write you a check. You could hire a firm. They could come in and build the plant. Now what? That's the hard part.
In Santee, the cheapest fix is to build a new treatment plant for $10 million. But keeping it maintained would cost $200,000 per year, and without a reliable source of funding, it could quickly fall into disrepair. The Santee's preferred solution is a $40 million pipeline that would pump pre-treated water from South Dakota back to the reservation. Runnels doesn't expect that money anytime soon.
It would be nice, but to be realistic, we kind of know we're going to have to probably apply for grants and go after some of this stuff on our own. You know, we're pretty much on our own anyway, and we have been in this regard.
For now, the tribe is relying on a $100,000 grant from the Bureau of Indian Affairs to buy bottled water for tribal members. That money is expected to run out this winter. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Brian Beach.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly sunny with a high of 70 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Dave McKinney, Jim Meadows, Alex Stegman, Colin Highslope, and Brian Beach. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Ferry Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.